This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons on the Score.
They're buying into you, right? That's the message. They're buying into you, buy back into them. Engross yourself in Ben Johnson's offense, man. Go there, erase all the noise. Don't listen to anybody else. We got you everything you need, man. Now it's you. Now buy in. Now execute the offense in the details.
Our guy, Olin Krutz, talking about the changes that have happened up at Hallis Hall, how they affect Caleb Williams. And now we're kind of in a place as we get ready to finish out mini camps and start training camp to start thinking about how this relationship with his new head coach is going to hopefully allow for the Bears offense to flourish.
It was understandable noise to have all the stuff in the Wickersham book expert. Great interview with you and Sarah Spain and Seth Wickersham on Thursday, by the way. It was understandable noise. And to dissect what was Caleb doing before the draft and what was Caleb doing last year and how much was on him, how much. But I'm relieved to be done with it. And I don't want it to inform what is completely worthwhile and valid dissection of the man's work ethic now. There was all that stuff before and we watched him and everything. But right now, like Olin said, this is a big offseason for Caleb. Here you go, man. Here's a great offensive mind. Here's three dudes in the middle of your offensive line. Now, don't be afraid to stand strong in the pocket or step up. Here's a quarterback coach who played. Here's an offensive coordinator who can be your guy.
And we brought in a backup quarterback to help you work through stuff when we can't because of the rules of the CBA.
It's like, here's everything you need now. Now,
and this backup worked with another phenom for the last 2 years and got him to be an all-pro.
Here's a second tight end that's worthy of starting in the NFL. Here's a third and a fourth and maybe even a fifth wideout. Devin DuVernay is here to be a returner and an extra guy. Zacchaeus is here, who's a worthwhile number three. And Luther Burden's here. I mean, yeah, they could give him another running back. And maybe they still will, you know?
And the left tackle thing has to be figured out.
So it's not like it's a perfect thing.
No.
But, man, pressure's on him. And so now I just want us to be able to be comfortably breaking down what we learn about his work ethic without it necessarily having to be informed with the noise from last year and before the draft.
Okay, so the last show that we did, we were both like, wait, there's Case Keenum tape? And then you were out, and then I was out, and I haven't heard the Case Keenum tape. So I want to first go to Ben Johnson talking about Case Keenum and the type of work that he allows Caleb to do.
Case has been phenomenal. I haven't been with him in the past, but he came highly recommended from a number of people that I trust. He's got skins on the wall. I mean, he's been to playoff games. He's won playoff games. He's done it at a high level. He's been the number two quarterback at a number of different places as well. So his experience level is off the charts. He's seen a little bit of everything that this league has to offer. And I can say from my experience of being in the room with him, he finds a good way to ask questions that I might not, or Declan or JT, we might not have provided the answer to prior. So he does a good job filling those gaps. And then, of course, we're constrained so much by the time limits in the springtime that he's able to help the process when we're not in there as coaches.
So we get that little nugget at the end, Lawrence, that Caleb is staying late and working outside CBA regulations with the veteran backup.
And to be clear, Spiegs and I both, like, independently had heard stories that that wasn't necessarily the case last year. But then you put it all into a blender and you go, well, clearly no one was there to really help him. And he didn't feel like he had trust in a lot of people. And Tyson Bagent is trying to be an NFL quarterback too.
They're on the same page.
Right.
So he's supposed to stay late with Bagent and work with him, maybe, but
But Bajan's out here trying to forge his own career, and now he knows that it's not going to be here.
Right, and Case can, like, Caleb, no, let's watch, because this is what you should be watching.
And with Case, like, him, part of the reason that I was so like, yeah, that's the guy they have to have, is because he understands his role. He gets that his job is to be Caleb's consigliere. And I'm not trying to throw shade at Tyson Bagent. If I were Tyson Bagent, I want to prove that I'm good enough to play.
Hey, man, you gonna hang out with the 10-year vet at your place of work, or are you going to hang out with the newbie who's right there with you if you're really trying to learn everything you can?
And now to have someone like that in the room that's seen the things, that know the coaches, that know the game plans that mm-hmm. other quarterbacks have had against some of these coaches, I think is really valuable. So let's hear from Case Keenum. This is what he said about putting stuff together and studying with Caleb.
He's beating me in the building. Like, that's the type of guy he is. He wants it that bad. And getting little extra walkthroughs with the guys, meeting with the guys. I think I'm missing, you know, a little extra film study right now. That's, you know, just the guys grabbing each other and, hey, let's go watch a few plays from 7-on-7 today to talk about this, you know, different choice route, you know, how we run this type of route with this type of leverage and this type of coverage. So yeah, it's been a lot of that, which has been fun. It's just talking ball. It's getting to know each other. That's what the spring is for. You know, I think first of all, getting to know each other and speaking the same language, but then, you know, getting into the weeds a little bit, how to play quarterback and what that looks like.
It's just different when it's a peer versus a coach. There are things that Caleb might feel way more comfortable talking to with Case Keenum than he would Declan Doyle,
sure,
or Ben Johnson.
Absolutely.
And just even throwing stuff around and being like, wait, what was that? Like, I don't know what that is. You're more likely to do that in that room now with a peer than you are with your coach.
Totally agree. And let's focus on what Caleb is bringing to it, according to Case, because we respect Case, right? What does Case say he's doing? Beating him in. Caleb is beating Case Keenum into the building. In that cut, Case Keenum says that Caleb is doing extra film study with the skill position guys in 7-on-7, stuff that Case isn't even a part of. So now we've got Caleb coming in before Case Keenum and doing film study outside of Case's knowledge.
He's beating me in the building.
So he's beating him into the building. And we also had Kevin Byard say last week that sometimes when he leaves, Caleb's still there.
Every single day he's trying to get better. He's still a really good, talented young quarterback in his league, and he's trying to get better every day. And that's all I see from him, just working every single day, staying late, obviously, and meeting with Ben and all those guys, we're trying to right the ship. We're trying to right this organization, trying to right the culture. And that's the only thing I can see from, honestly, anybody in this organization.
So I just want to make sure we take stock of this moment. We got a dude who's getting there before the backup quarterback, working with skill position guys outside of the knowledge of the backup veteran quarterback, working with that backup outside of the CBA regulations, and according to Kevin Byard, staying late as well. So I applaud what appears to be the work ethic at this point in a big moment for Caleb Williams. And like Olin says, they're investing in you, now you invest in them.
We talked a little bit about it last week, but the concept of what your life is like as the star player at a college versus you being the guy on an NFL team. The difference between what your life is like as an amateur athlete versus it's your whole life, it's your profession, and the changes to your routine, the changes to your day, the way you eat, where you're at. There's now an expectation, and sometimes an expectation is unfair, because what you don't want is to then have the, well, now he's getting in at 2 a.m. But, you know, like,
you're so right. Like, I don't want to do the silly thing about, like, John Gruden would make get there at 3 a.m. Like, I bet he works smart. But the volume of stuff that's on him right now, he has to show up early and stay late.
I agree. Like, he's being asked to learn something new. And now it might even be, I wonder if in an honest moment, Caleb would even tell you, like, oh, the expectation level that has been presented to me is different than what I experienced last year. And all I needed was someone to go, hey, where are you going? There's still work to be done. We can work on this right now, because it's not like all regimented, like, well, class and then study table and then we're doing lunch and then we're watching film. And then, like, no, like, this is your whole gig now. This is the whole thing.
This is it.
That you have to do.
Game on. Like, you don't have to grumble and complain anymore that there's not stuff there. And even if you were doing it privately, you don't have to even think about that. Just use the stuff that's here. You know what I keep thinking about?
How it's nice that Caleb actually has someone he can call that can help him.
Dude, he's got like six people.
Yeah.
He's got all these different people he can call. And he might gravitate to Declan. Declan Doyle might be like, I know, dude. I know Ben's an ass. I know.
He might like Declan because Declan seems very buttoned up and like, no, you should watch this.
Yeah, Declan's
watch
good.
Watch this.
Right. He might like JT because JT would be like, yeah, Declan doesn't know Jack.
He's never played. Right.
Exactly. And he might like Case because, like, man, those dudes don't know.
None of those guys know. They didn't have to deal with it in the NFL.
Yeah, he's probably not going to like Ben. But, you know, I'll like Ben a little bit.
He'll like Ben if he sees results.
Oh, for sure. But he's got all these different dudes. I often think about his quarterback. I always forget the guy's name. Will, not Will Fuhrer, not Will Fleming.
Venable.
Will, no.
Will Bynum.
No? I'll tell you what, if you don't stop naming Wills. Yeah. Oh, God, Will Bynum's a great pull. That's a Chicago point guard right there. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was Will somebody who was the quarterback coach that he worked with. Hewlett. Will Hewlett.
No, it's not him.
It is.
Hewlett Packard.
No.
Billy Packard. Billy Blue Demon.
It was Billy Blue Demon. I often think
George
of
Will.
Will Hewlett said, Caleb craves structure. Because we were asking, like, is he gonna take to all the work that he has to do? He's like, no, you guys, you don't know. Caleb craves structure. He wants it. And he had god-awful structure last year. He's got good structure now. Doesn't it seem like he's got very good structure in terms of the volume of work and how they're giving it to him? I think Will Fleming and Will Bynum are both going to be okay.
I think they are, too. And so is Willie Mopena. That's from The Mob. I can't take credit for that.
Where's Willie Mopena? Remember those 2 weeks when he was going to be the greatest player in the history of baseball?
And now he just looks like Jordan Cornette.
Does he?
Oh, they are like twins, Willie Mopena and Jordan Cornette.
Where have you seen Willie Mopena lately?
Just, you know, just every now and again a highlight comes up.
No. He's like, calling Big Ten basketball games. It's so weird.
He's married to Shea Pepler. I think that's him.
I think that's it. I think that's how it works.
Oh, my God. He does look like Jordan
See,
Cornette.
I told you.
I know, but it's
we
like.
We used to joke about that all the time.
But you said now, like, you and Willie Mopena hang out sometimes. Like, when's the last time you had lunch with Willie Mopena? Alex, when's the last time?
It's been a few weeks.
Just a few weeks,
To be
though,
fair,
right?
Alex was just telling me, I could always use Mopena. That's what he was telling me.
We all could. We all could.
And Mo Bamba. Uh-huh. See, we can just keep going with this.
Yes, we can.
But we won't. The piece of sound that I wanted to hear that I hadn't heard is this one. Because, look, we all love Greg Olsen. And we all know how good he is at this. So whenever he's willing to break down stuff and share stuff, I am here for it. This is Greg Olsen talking about watching film and how it's supposed to work and Caleb's role in it.
Yeah, it is, though, an element of the sport that there is a little bit of a learning curve. I don't think most young guys coming out of college, unless you just happen to be playing for, you know, the right coach, the right position coach, coordinator, whoever at the college level, to teach you the art of film study. I think we used to have a joke, like, we're not in here watching movies, right? There's a lot of guys that put the game on, play one, and they just go play one, play two, play three, and they just go through the sequence of a game. You know, yes, you're watching film. Are you really getting the tendencies and really know what you're looking at to study? My experience is most guys have to learn that. Most guys have to learn that over the career. How I watched film in my 14th year was wildly different than how I watched it my first and second year. And I think it's up to the organization. It's up to the coach, especially at the quarterback position, where there is no greater responsibility than understanding not only everything of what your team's doing, but of course what the opposing team is doing defensively. So I can't imagine Ben Johnson's going to let that go on at all. So I think for Caleb Williams and his development, the right guy now is in control in Chicago, both over the team and then obviously offensively with what Ben Johnson can do. But yeah, when I read that report, I kind of did a, ooh, like true, not true, scales of truth, whatever. There's always probably two sides to every story, but just the fact that that was even suggested is not a great, reflection of the organization for sure.
So that first part is exactly what we were talking about last week, where it's like Caleb saying, oh, I totally know how to watch film, except for, you know, I was hoping to learn blah, blah, blah.
That's
blah,
the
blah.
Scale.
That's what we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a difference between, yeah, you were in there and you were actually watching it. Learning how to watch it.
Sure, that's the whole thing.
Is a big deal.
Yeah.
And Greg Olson's 100% right that, and we heard it from Dez about Olson, about the things that he didn't know rookie season.
I loved that Dez White interview so much.
Dez Clark.
And Dez White, I didn't like that interview as much.
Yes, the Dez Clark one was way better.
Yeah, I like that one a lot better.
Because we haven't done a Dez White interview.
No, we haven't. And we probably shouldn't. I don't think. Jeff Ireland did one. It didn't go well.
It did not go well.
No. But that Dez Clark one we did.
Yes.
I loved so much just because, like, it's just the way that healthy societies work. The fact that Greg Olson remembers how great Dez was to him as the OG, and then Greg has made sure to do that any chance that he has. It's just like, that's just the way it's supposed to go.
What did you have Tanny put back in? Because I couldn't hear you.
If it's back in, this goes with what we're talking about, with the structure that Caleb craves, with the fact that he's in the right place, and with the work ethic. This whole conversation that we're having, this is Ben Johnson talking about how Caleb is responding to the teaching. So as we're kind of focusing on this dynamic of Caleb working hard and taking the teaching well, this is Ben.
Very attentive. He's been very detailed in terms of the meetings. He's taking great notes. He's asking excellent questions. The more we're out on the grass together, we're figuring out what we can put in the morning and what we can execute later on in the afternoon. And so that's been the fun part of it so far, because there's for everybody, there's a saturation level that we got to find what that point is, so that as coaches, we don't ask too much out of any player over the course of the season. We got to be able to download a game plan and execute it. And so it's been a healthy process right now. I think JT Barrett's doing a phenomenal job. Declan's a big part of that as well.
So there's a lot to like from Ben's perspective and how he coaches. But just the Caleb part, the fact that Caleb is being attentive, taking notes, asking good questions, and showing them what he can retain. I feel like Caleb's being a really good student right now. And I want to take stock of that moment and make sure that we, you know, reward it and also dissect it. If we learn something that isn't that way, it's totally justified to call it out.
Right. If things start to not match up with the things that we're hearing now in May and June, then there's another conversation to be had. And then what I think that stuff like this at least eliminates, and I don't want to jump all the way to negative town, but what I think it eliminates is the what ifs, where last year is just a bunch of what ifs. And when you're trying to figure out whether or not Caleb is good, and I think that it's clear to me that he's not bad, but the difference between not bad and him being a great quarterback is stark. And now you eliminate some of that stuff from it.
Yeah.
You eliminate the, well, is he getting proper coaching? Well, we kind of know that that Ben Johnson, if he doesn't know anything else, he knows how to coach offensive football. I don't know if he knows how to be a head coach, but we know he knows how to coach offensive football. Is Caleb in a position where he can ask for help and get proper help? Now he finally is. All of those things are right there for him now.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just a matter of, is he as good of a prospect as people thought? Is he as engaged? And can he take what he learns in the classroom and can he do it on the field?
I was talking to somebody about a play-by-play broadcaster, because that happens a lot in my life.
You do a whole podcast on it.
Yeah, so I was talking to somebody about a young play-by-play broadcaster, and it was like, the conversation was, well, he just isn't very comfortable being himself. So we got to make sure that he gets comfortable being himself. And then, of course, the question becomes, once he is himself, do we actually like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like, you can't even find that out
until the person
lets go
a little bit.
So that jumped to mind as you're talking about Caleb. Like, now he's got everything that he needs to find out whether he's great. Like, can he be great? And he wants to know, man. That kid wants to know, and we obviously want to know. So like, he's got everything. Now we'll find out, can he be great? Does he panic a little bit in the pocket? There's been some moments of it.
That stuff we did with Greg Cosell.
Yes.
It now should be back in everyone's mind.
Yes.
Because what they did is they took the place where it has been uncomfortable for Caleb, whether real or imagined, and they have fortified it.
I think that is a brilliant use of your free agent money, so you can find out whether this guy has it or not. Like, if he's still like holds it too long and steps into pressure when the pocket is actually better, then you might have some problems that you got to try and fix a different way, or he might not be able to be fixed on some of those things. We'll get a chance to find out, I think.
Thinking of all of the middle of the lines in the NFC North. Huh.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing in Detroit doesn't seem like it's real great right now, huh?
Is that the best center in the NFL?
He's one of them,
but at the very top of his game.
And for him to just walk?
Just decide he doesn't.
I hope he's okay.
Doesn't want to do it anymore.
But for the purposes of the Bears, Frank Ragnow and Ben Johnson not being a part of the Detroit Lions.
Those are some big losses, man.
Yeah.
Some big losses for Jared Goff.
You lose your offensive coordinator, your defense coordinator, you lose your center, you lose your wide receiver coach. Like, there's a lot of loss that they're going to have to make up for in Detroit this season.
You know, it reminds me about just how down they were when they got bounced out of the playoffs last year.
Maybe thinking it's the last hurrah.
They knew it. I believe Dan Campbell referenced it, you know? Like, that this was a big year, because they knew they were going to lose the OC and the DC. And now to lose Ragnow, it's like, was that their best moment, to their best opportunity to really finally, you know, win in this particular window? Now without the OC and the DC, it's a big ask. Dan Campbell's a hell of a leader, but, you know, we'll see how the new guys step up.
Yeah, I mean, there's a part of me that thinks that he'll be able to recreate what he needs, but that sometimes takes a little time, you know, and he's missing a lot. Like, because ideally you go, oh, well, Ben Johnson's gone, but my quarterback is a veteran and so is my center. And it's like, ooh, now I have to rely on Jared Goff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I have to spread the gospel of the offense that we were running under a guy who's no longer here.
Yeah, while you're figuring out new workflows and new dynamics with your new OC and your DC, and you're trying to get those things in place before your talent loses some athleticism, or before people get too hurt and stuff like that.
Yep.
So it can be a very, very tricky thing. Frank Ragnow, good. As the second highest ranked center on the Scores air staff, I'm behind Olin Krutz, but ahead of Pat Manley. I can say, well, you know, Pat was a long snapper, not a center. I can say,
That's rough.
Pat's not listening, right?
No, he's living the best year of his life right now.
Yeah, it's true. But anyway, I can report that Frank Ragnow, good. Very good.
Okay, that's an important report. Yeah, you heard it here on the score first.
Lions damaged by losing him.
That's what
big if true.
Yes.
Big if true. That's what the social media post that Jenna will put up will say.
We're losing Jenna.
Yeah. Hey, but
bigger and better?
From what she told me, the job she's got, pretty cool.
Can she still do the podcast with Studs? Because Studs and Duds has a very healthy listenership.
I think that she would be okay with that.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to change the name, though.
Duds and Studs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I mean, she's got leverage. So I can see that being a whole thing.
Greatest leverage in the history of leverage.
Of leverage. When we come back, what's it like to work for Jerry Reinsdorf?
Oh, boy.
We got an inside look into that. You might be interested, Score listener. We'll share it with you next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday fast? Yeah. Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes Show.
Afternoons on The Score.
Here's another good number.
There's a deep drive to right center. This is trouble, and it's going to leave the yard way up into the seats. Wow. Fernando Tatis Jr., hit one about 20 rows deep in the seats in right center, or at least 15. And that is his 16th of the year. He has that little pause number that he does around third base. Again, he plays with a lot of flair. He likes to bring attention to himself. He looks up to the sky, claps his hands, has a little handshake ritual with Eric Hosmer before heading back to the Padres' first base dugout.
I love Pat, you sounding a little bit like Farmio there. Not here for the play.
No, that's a while ago. That's Eric Hosmer still being on the Padres in that cut right there. So that's a while back. That's when Pat and the rest of us were getting a load of Fernando's thing. I think I was at that game because I remember seeing Tatis, young Padre, doing that little hesitation move before third base and just being like, that's awesome.
Oh, Speaks, was that the Stay Forever Javi game?
I think it was. I think it was. That was when I was really feeling it in the afternoon until it said, like, shouted to Javi to stay forever.
Oh, yeah. You had
no,
a little
KB.
You had a little something for everyone that game, I believe. Yeah, yeah. You told Ian Happ more dinger dollars.
Yeah, something like that. It said, the crowd loves you, Javi. Told KB to stay forever. Yeah, I was feeling it. I was in the presence of a meatball, and I was out meatballing the meatball that day.
You were out here being a hype man.
I really was. Who's the guy in Cypress Hill?
Be Real.
Be Real.
We ain't going out.
Yeah.
Sendog.
Oh, that's right. Sendog. Be Real. Sendog is the hype man for...
So Be Real says,
we ain't going out like that. We ain't going out like that.
And Sendog says, we ain't going out like that.
Not Dan McNeil.
We ain't going out like that, Chicago. Extend the membrane. I'm going down for a heater.
I thought it was Carlos Boozer. And one. Go get him, Joe. Because Carlos Boozer was the hype man on those Bulls.
He was. Mm-hmm. And to a certain extent, so was Joaquin. Like, Joaquin was kind of D. Rose's hype man.
Yeah.
And still is.
But
I could just kill a man. Did you see if it happened on Captivate.com?
By the way, the DJ Filthy Rich Cypress Hill mix is excellent if you ever want to check it out.
Really? Okay. Yeah, did really you see good. That Cypress Hill played with the London Symphony Orchestra, finally?
Wasn't that
a couple years ago.
Wasn't that a Simpsons thing?
It was a Simpsons thing that became actual life. It took 20 years, but it eventually became actual life, is one of the great things ever.
That is good stuff.
But that's not why we called.
It's not. It's to talk about the jackass who traded Fernando Tatis. And I only say that because he said it. I actually like Rick quite a bit, but he said it, so I get to use it.
Rick Hahn is out there. He is chatting on MLB Network and with Matt Vasgersian.
You know, some jackass traded Tatis.
That's incredible.
Right?
And so when Vasgersian asks him this, he sets him up. We've got other stuff. Rick Hahn and Jerry Reinsdorf, which is fascinating. But this particular item is one of the holy grails of Chicago baseball history that had yet to be discussed by the man in charge. And here it is.
If there's a trade you wish you could have a do-over on. I mean, it begins and ends with Tatis. I mean, what fool would trade him? Here's the thing about Tatis. Obviously, horrible trade. You know, San Diego actually asked for Eric Johnson, who was part of the trade, right-handed pitcher, as well as another arm initially. And we were reluctant to include two arms. The second arm never went on to appear.
They didn't even ask for Tatis?
Initially, it was a different arm. It was a different arm. And we pushed back, and we wound up shuffling and pivoting in the end. They asked for Tatis, which they deserve a ton of credit for identifying this guy out of complex ball as someone they wanted. At the time, it was 2016. We were dealing with a team that was 23-10 coming out of the gate. We knew we weren't as good as 23-10. Matt Latos was doing some things with smoke and mirrors early on in that season. John Danks was trying to fight his way back from injury and losing that battle. And we had a manager in Robin who kind of knew that, like, this, if we don't win this year, he might not want to be around too much longer on his own volition. Mm. So there was a lot pointing towards, let's push in to make this work.
Win now.
And obviously I regret the trade. Obviously it did not work out the way we hoped because we wound up not winning. And we ultimately, that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of finally getting us to rebuild. But I understand and I think I take lessons with me going forward. But frankly, as part of the rebuild was wanting to have the depth to withstand if you didn't have, you know, if you had failure at one spot on that roster, which we just did not have in sort of this sort of piecemeal patch on the fly technique we were using.
Man, good for him for being honest about it. I think that's healthy for him. It is useful for us in the knowledge acquisition business.
I'm happy that Rick is out here telling his story.
Me too, man. Me too. And it's like he's always been a really articulate, thoughtful elucidator of complexities in a baseball universe.
And I think that he's needed to have this gap year to kind of like allow himself. First of all, he's just hanging out being with his kids, and his boys are both doing great things. Uh-huh. And there's that part of it. And now he's just like, yeah, you know, I'm out here and let me tell you all the things that happen and why they happen. Speaks, let me take you back.
Okay? Oh, but I got to react to one thing in there.
Go ahead.
I got it because I'm dying to, Lawrence. Please. I'm dying to.
No, I'll do it.
I'm hurting. I'm hurting inside.
For Robin Ventura?
No.
He is not a stranger any place in the world. He lights up a room.
Think about, that's Oral Hershiser about Robin Ventura. Think about how convoluted the motivations have to be that you're worried about winning so you keep your manager. That is the part of that that ended up jumping out to me. And it's because he's serving Jerry and he's serving Kenny. And because Robin did them a favor, they asked him to come manage and he didn't want to, but he said yes to try and help them save this thing as they thought they could still win.
Because he's loyal.
Yes. So
and he recognizes the loyalty that Jerry has shown other people inside the White Sox organization. And this was him being like, you know what? I'm in. I'll
absolutely
do it.
So they want to do right by Robin, who did right by them for becoming a manager. It's a manager. You are an organization. You are bigger than the manager in a given season. So the fact that you end up listing as part of your motivations, we had to keep the manager happy so he would do this again, is insane. And that's what a culture of loyalty first can do to an organization. That's the part I couldn't get out of my head when I heard this morning.
So 2016, I am celebrating my birthday because this trade happened around this time in 2016. I'm in New Orleans. I'm having a great time. I am just enjoying life. I'm eating good food. I'm drinking good drinks. And I'm like, oh, okay, the White Sox made this trade for James Shields. I know that James Shields in the past has been pretty decent. And I know that last start that he had before he got here was not great. Let's see how all this goes. So I am outside like drinking hurricanes or something, watching this all play out.
Oh, man.
In that first start of James Shields as a White Sox.
Destroyed.
Two innings pitch, 8 hits, 7 runs all earned. 3 home runs that he gave up in that two innings pitch. He followed it up with 5 innings, 6 earned runs, and then 1 2/3, 8 earned runs. Those were his first 3 starts. He had a combined 21 earned runs in his first 3 starts as a White Sox.
Just awful.
Just.
So, I mean, yeah, just horrendous. And it did. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. And he did end up saying, we are mired in mediocrity that September. And things changed and they moved on. But just that convoluted dynamic of loyalty. And we know how they get there. Let's take a break because we need to. But there's more from Rick on Jerry that speaks to this kind of loyalty first that can drag an organization down from the inside, sadly.
We're going to let him share some of the dynamic. And it might change your mind on, or it might bolster your opinion on what it is to work for the White Sox under Jerry Reinsdorf. That's next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're cooking with hot grease now, man.
Afternoons on the Score.
Well, if I were a fan, I'd be pissed. I'd be very angry.
Right, you're right.
Remember that time Sendog was the manager and they made a terrible trade just to try and keep Sendog happy? He's Sendog! You can find another hype man!
I think I'm going crazy. Yeah, Robin Ventura, really nice guy,
sweet
by the
guy.
Way.
Sweet guy.
Fun guy to interact with as a manager as well.
He lights up a room.
And I remember him, I remember having a conversation with him about Adam Eaton. And Eden was like running into walls in Camelback Ranch. And he's like, I don't know why we're doing that. Like, that's.
I remember that.
He's like, that's stupid. Huh. Like, why would we do that in spring training? But anyway, he had a lot of loyalty to Jerry Reinsdorf. And so did the other men that worked for Jerry Reinsdorf, whether it was Kenny Williams or it was Rick Hahn, who we were talking about here. And Rick Hahn talking with MLB Network about his experience being in charge of the White Sox is really interesting, including him talking about his first meeting with Jerry Reinsdorf.
In law schools, when I started writing letters, I actually reached out to Sandy Alderson because he was the one sitting GM with a law degree. When I got a form letter back from the HR department of any of the 30 teams that I was spamming with my mail, snail mail back then, I thought that was a victory. So I resisted for years using any family connections, and because I just wanted to earn it on my own. I felt like that wasn't right. Ultimately, someone convinced me, like, look, if you get in front of someone that through a favor, mm-hmm. so be it. And they're not going to hire you just as a favor. So a friend of my father's was friends with Jerry Reinsdorf. And after law school, when I wasn't quite ready to turn pro and practice law or teach law, I went to business school. Jerry agreed to meet with me. He denies this part of the story to this day, but when I walked into his office, he was facing the other way. And in more colorful language than I'll use right here, he explained that I was wasting his time, that I was wasting my time, that I'm more likely to be able to one day own a team than actually run a team. But he promised he'd meet with me, so let's chat. And over the course of the next 90 minutes, I think I was able to kind of sway him that, you know, the game was probably changing a little bit in mm-hmm. terms of who was going to make a lot of these multi-million dollar decisions and run these expanding departments, and that perhaps people who didn't play the game would have some value. I felt that way for about 2 weeks when a letter showed up at my apartment that I was living in Evanston. My real name is Frederick. I go by Rick, but my resume says Frederick at the top. The letter says, "Dear Fred," handwritten by Jerry Reinsdorf, "Dear Fred." So he's already forgotten my name. I've thought long and hard about your career aspirations, and I counsel you to lie down and come to your senses. And then goes on a little bit, and then it says, "However, if you want to learn about scouting while holding down a real job, feel free to contact me, and I'll put you in touch with our amateur scouts."
So, look, man, the fact that Rick then was trying to tell Jerry, you know, some of these decisions don't have to be made by former ball players. It's not all former ball players, Jerry. It's something that Jerry is still trying to wrap his head around.
If you can have a nice mix of it, that's kind of the goal, where you do have the Harvard MBA guy. You do have the former player. It's okay. Like, it is interesting to kind of Rick trying to explain while trying to get himself in a position to be one of those decision makers, be like, no, like, there's a bunch of guys that are right behind me.
Look everywhere. And look around at a whole bunch of different organizations. And, like, and think about that, what he was trying to convince him, all the way through to the rebuild when he says, we need to expand our stats department, our analytics department, all the way through to even now.
All the way through to the La Russa stuff, all the way through.
Going back, because Jerry just keeps going backwards with stuff. Going backwards with stuff. And now, right now, they're expanding their R&D. They're calling it R&D to make it more palatable to people within the organization that don't like it. Like, this is still the crux of what, you know, smart people are trying to get Jerry to understand and accept.
Yeah. It's about kind of what I think people...
I'm going to turn my back to everybody.
But just real quick, let me just... If I can offer just a little bit of a defense for Jerry Reinsdorf, just a little bit of it.
Go ahead. Right.
This is a guy who owns a baseball team. Yeah, and a friend...
Dump him.
A son of one of your friends is in your office and you're like, I did this because of... You know what I mean? Like, I get why he might feel dismissive. Mm. That doesn't mean he has to be dismissive.
It means he doesn't have to, like, turn his back away from him that way.
That's very, like... villain, like comic book villainy thing of you show up and he's got his arms folded and his back turned to you.
Oh my God. I hear what you're saying though. You own a baseball team.
You own and a bunch of real estate projects that are going on. You're like, I'm going to give this guy 10 minutes and I'm going to move on with my day.
I'm doing fine, but I hear your ideas. Okay. That's adorable. And that's what speaks to the end. Cause in the end, he's the boss. This part from Rick about the pluses and minuses of working for Jerry is very frank and speaks to what you've been teasing and talking about understanding what it's like to work for Jerry.
I knew that it wasn't perfect for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Quite candidly, very few of the 30 opportunities for a general manager are going to be perfect. And the ones that open tend to open for a reason. There's something inherently not working there. Although there were at times that opportunity to move on and perhaps the grass looked a little bit greener and perhaps the internal dynamics that were set up by someone who is immensely loyal, who has been doing it for a long time and therefore has pretty strong beliefs about what a winning organization looks like, perhaps that made my job at times a little more difficult. But the benefit of potentially winning in Chicago and being part of, you know, a franchise that was historic and meaningful to its fans, that overrode it all for me. In fact, any time, like, for lack of a better description, I didn't get my way, I wasn't able to execute something I wanted to execute for whatever reason, I put that on me. I put that on my inability to essentially advocate well enough for what I thought was right. And there were plenty of times where, you know, Jerry and I went nose-to-nose on certain things. You know, ultimately the golden rule prevails. He with the gold rules. So it was his decision in the end. This is ultimately the owner's thing, and he lets us play with it. Yeah. So there's challenges everywhere. I was more than happy to deal with the challenges that we encountered in Chicago because of the tremendous upside to me personally being there?
It's like the golden rule. Who's got the goal makes the rules. There's nobody working for the White Sox right now that's being held against their will.
That's Paul Konerko at the time of the La Russa hiring explaining, I believe in this time slot.
Does it make you wonder if in White Sox circles that is a phrase
100%,
that
100% that when they run up, absolutely, Lawrence, exactly what I thought, that when they run up against the issue, like, well, we know this would probably be better, but there's nothing we can do. That's the phrase that they use.
I've heard from a lot of people who do and have worked for Jerry Reinsdorf that he does know what he does for other people. And I don't think that he holds it against people in a malicious way, but he lets people know, you know, that hey, you know, I gave you this opportunity. And there is a level of guilt that people sometimes feel when they don't, when they're not living up to whatever Jerry's expectations are, even though those expectations might be wrong. There's a lot of that over there. So yeah. You know, it's illuminating, man.
It really is. And it's and I get what Rick is saying about the pluses and minuses of any of those jobs, and this is what it is. But like, you know, you bristled a little bit. It was the last week or the week before when I referred to Kevin Warren as middle management. High level middle management, but still middle management. He's gotta manage the McCaskies above him.
Right.
And manage Ryan Poles below him. These jobs, Rick Hahn he had some middle management going on. Jed Hoyer does too. He's got to make the owners happy and follow their rules and also try to do everything he wants to do. Rick Hahn speaking to that like very few people have, frankly.
We can actually, I'm curious on how Jason Leisure feels about this because he's a White Sox fan, along with talking football with him. We'll do all that next here on The Score.
The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is The Score. Thanks for keeping us the number one and most listened to sports station in Chicago. Listen on your radio, laptop, mobile device through the Odyssey app, AUDACY, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score. We're live and we're local. 670 The Score, always live on the free Odyssey app.
FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner here at 670 The Score. This is Speaks. FanDuel's the best place to find all your favorite player props for the NBA Finals, which start this week. Now you can make the smarter play with new performance trends. You want to check and see what Halliburton has been doing from game to game? You want to see what kind of numbers exactly SGA has had and what you can predict? You can get the latest stats right inside the app and see who's heating up and see what makes sense for you to play. And after tip-off, well, that's when you can combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, it's not too late to get in on the action. You get started with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/Matt to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 plus and present in Illinois. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.